told him, we'll try to make sure we get this posted online next week for him. Testing, working? Okay. Well, thank you for coming out this evening to hear what the Lord has placed on my heart. I've titled tonight's message, Passing Through. Some of you may have recalled in past where I've mentioned Bill and I have conversations every day on a daily basis. Lord, I thank the Lord so much for having a friend like Bill Silva, someone I can talk to, someone I can go into and speak about the Word with as I'm driving down the road. With today's technology and cell phones and headsets and all that, makes it quite convenient. So we talk about the things of the day, the things that are in the news, the things of the Lord, and how things relate to Scriptures. Usually when we get into the things of the world, we're talking about politics, and that can get pretty frustrating at times, being two conservative people. There's no beating around the bush about it. This country is becoming more liberal and more liberal and more liberal by the day. In fact, Scripture, I believe, Bill refers to it as waxing worse and worse as it goes along. And we can see that. Most of you can see that too. There usually comes a point in the conversation where I have to stop, because my blood just begins to boil. And whether it be that something that we all voted on, and we know that the right way and the conservative way to do it would be this way, but yet the liberals have decided, no, we're going to open it up and let something else do it. And that can get very frustrating to some of us. So I always try to break away from that conversation with this. This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Tonight I'd like to address the souls that have been given the truth of salvation. The truth about what we humans are. Sin. That's what we're born into. When Adam fell in the garden, he plunged the entire human race right into sin. We're tigers with stripes. We don't have the power to change those stripes. We are what we are. The truth about our nature is that our nature is sin. They talk about us having a free will, and we do. We have a free will to choose. God has given us a free will. The problem is that that will is bound by the nature that we are. It's bound by the stripes of the tiger. Left to yourself, left to myself, I would choose to do what I used to do, and that is to go get drunk, watch football, scream and cuss and yell and have a good time on Sundays rather than come down here or up here and hear about something more wonderful than anything I can see on the boob tube. Hear about the Creator, the one who loved the people. The truth of salvation. Christ is the only way. God became a man. His name was Emmanuel, which means God with us. He gave up his life. He hung on the cross. He came here to die for his people. He shed his own blood. He went into the bowels of the earth as our substitute. A substitute for those that he has loved before the world was. The Lamb's Book of Life was written before the manifestation of the world. They're called God's elect, God's chosen, vessels of mercy in Scripture. They are sanctified, which means to be set apart. That means they're taken out of the world. They're taken out of, set apart, and put in a new place. From all that we were, whether we were religious or not. Some of you have come from other religions. You know what I'm saying. I was never religious. I was raised in a Baptist church. But the religion that my parents had when I was a kid, it had no effect on me. They're called the sanctified. They're called the redeemed. The price on the heads, on their heads was paid for by His blood. When He went to the cross, He paid the price complete. They're called the justified. Because He went to the cross as their substitute, they are justified before God. Their standing with God is just as if they had never sinned. Do you fit that? Do you see that truth in Scriptures? Has God come to you and revealed the truth of salvation to you through His Word, through the preaching of the Gospel? That's how He did it for me. I was sitting right over here, all of you that have heard this before, not looking for Christ, not looking for God in the Word of God. I didn't even have a Bible. In fact, I think I was dressed in my leathers. I was riding the motorcycle or something. And the Lord called me that day, came to me, and revealed Himself in Scriptures, using the preacher that sits here before us now to preach the gospel, the good news. Our sins, we stand before God justified because our sins are forgotten as far as the east is from the west. He remembers them no more. We stand in His righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. He came on to this earth as a man and walked perfectly as a substitute because we can't. Our stripes were tigers, remember? We came into this world sinners, dead in trespasses and sin. But yet today, those who have seen, those who have heard, those who have had the truth of salvation revealed to them, we no longer travel the road of works that this world has to offer. We're passing through this world, yes, but we don't walk that walk of works. We don't try to earn our salvation anymore. We no longer travel that road that leads us to you must. You must worship on Saturday. You must not eat meats of certain kinds. You must go tell the guy in that little room off to the corner your sins so that you can be forgiven. You must choose. We don't travel that road anymore, do we? No. But we're passing through a world that does. Our road that we travel now is a road of mercy, a road of grace. And mercy and grace can only be found in one place, folks. Our Lord Jesus Christ, our King. Turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, if you would. In Scriptures, we are described as sojourners. The word sojourn means to dwell for a time. It means to dwell or live in a place as a temporary resident. Or in other words, a stranger. Not considering the place as his permanent habitation. We live in a world that everything is about mankind. You must do this. You can do this. It's up to you to change your world around you. But yet, we belong to a country that is far above that. We belong to a country where there is one who sits on His throne, the King of all kings, our Lord Jesus Christ, and works all things out according to His will. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. Are you with me in 1 Chronicles? Chapter 29, take a look at verse 15, please. 1 Chronicles 29, verse 15. For we are strangers before thee, and sojourners, as were all our fathers. Our days on the earth are as a shadow, and there is none abiding. You don't need to turn there, but in Psalms 39, 12, we hear David say, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear unto my cry. Hold not thy peace at my tears, for I am a stranger with thee." Not saying stranger from thee, stranger with thee. When Christ walked this earth, He was a stranger too. He stood in the synagogues and preached to the congregation, and nobody heard Him. They didn't know who He was. He came unto His own, and they did not know Him. He says, "I am a stranger with thee, and a sojourner as all my fathers." David, king of Israel, declared himself to be a sojourner. In Genesis 12:1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." This is the land that we see in the Bible. This is the land in Scripture. The land of mercy and grace by the King, the Creator of all things. We don't see that land until He has shown it to us. We seek the land that He has told us about in His Word. The land of rest. We rest in Him. Salvation is of the Lord from start to finish. This is why when we hear our fellow citizens crying about this or that, or crying about our leaders and what they're doing, we can say, and before I tell you what we can say, I can tell you this, it's not easy. It's real easy to get set up and talking with them about what the problems are. I do it with Bill, my own brother in Christ. But think about this for just a minute, will you? Think about what would we say to those who are so distressed about the way the world's running right now. What an open door the Lord has given us, but yet do we step through it? Here's what I pray the Lord will give me the ability to say next time. I am so sorry. The leaders of your country are idiots. Yeah, okay, I probably won't say it like that. I apologize. I am so sorry that your leaders don't know what they're doing. How terrible it must be to be that worried over how things are going in the world around you. How much trouble that must be on your heart. You see, I don't have to worry about these things. This is what I hope the Lord will give me the words to say. I don't have to worry about the things of this world. Yeah, those guys in Washington are just falling apart. They're not doing their jobs. They're doing whatever. It's all, you know, I'm so sorry for you folks that that's all you have to for your peace. My peace is not there because I'm just passing through. I have the peace of Christ Jesus, my Lord. And by His will, He has called me out of the darkness that we walk through here, out of the shadow of death. By His mercy and grace, I can say to those who don't have any peace, your peace is in the wrong place. You're worried over the wrong things. You see, my leader doesn't make mistakes. He does everything perfect. I got nothing to worry about. I'm not worried about these other countries attacking me or the Muslims doing whatever they want to do. If the Lord takes me today because of a Muslim attack, more better for me. I'm sorry to see your loss. I'm sorry to see your stress. I'm sorry that you have to go through that. May God, I'm not going to ask you to make your own decision. May God make the decision to call you out of that. We don't have to worry about such things. Turn a couple pages over from Chronicles there to Psalms, if you would, please. Psalms 23. Here's why we don't have to worry about that. I'll bet most of you can quote this entire psalm. But we're going to read it anyway. Because justice coming to the table tonight is important for us to remember what Christ has done for us. We have to remember where our peace is. 15 years ago, the Lord called me and gave me a heart for 3 months. Ask Pastor Gene and Steve. They'll tell you. I got 3 months after I started coming here, I kept coming to them saying, I don't know what's going on with me. I just can't figure this out. This is not John Reeves. But for some reason, what you guys are doing, talking about that stuff up there, is it all makes sense. And I'm not much better than that today. I'm a little more confident today than I was then. And here's why, because coming to the Lord's table, seeing what, you know, reminding myself what the Lord has done for me, has given me the peace that I didn't have then. It's given me the assurance that I didn't have then. I've grown in grace and come to the knowledge of who my Lord Jesus is, and over time being reminded of it, coming to services on Sunday and Bible studies whenever I can, learning more about the Lord has given me the confidence and the assurance to say, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm one of God's children. So reading this psalm over again out loud, starting at verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest the table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me in the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. We don't worry about such things because of this very thing. God's Word, over and over and over, tells us again and again of how it is all in His hands. We don't have anything to worry about. Our leader is in control. We rest in His assurances. We rest in His Word where He says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. You know, I got to tell you, folks, that just blesses me more than anything I can tell you. It's one of the verses I use all the time because it blesses me so much. I don't know about you guys, but I don't have very many members of my family. I got a pretty good-sized family that know the Lord. In fact, I got a bunch of family who says they know the Lord and they don't. But I know this. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, the Lord Jesus says. He also says, my sheep hear my voice. Again, another verse that we use over and over again to remind us. That's where our peace lies. That's the peace we have in this world of confusion and mass chaos. Our assurances lay in the Word where He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Our assurances lay in the words where He says, all things are for our good. When you come to realize that He means all things, Brother Mike's devotion last Sunday was just, how do they say that? Spot on. The British said it. I heard that the other day. I was like, well, that kind of hits it, doesn't it? Your devotion was spot on. Because when we get to feeling like that, where do we look for our assurances? When we have those feelings of weakness come over us, what are our assurances? All things are for our good. The world around us is all about works. Have you ever noticed that when you get around those who go to large churches, that you hear a lot about how many souls they've won? That's kind of an interesting way to measure yourself and whether you're right or wrong. Especially when God's Word uses the word remnant. We were at a baptismal for my niece of a Presbyterian church, and you would just be surprised, amazed at how everybody walked around. Can you believe this? Can you believe this? We've got 34 kids jumping in the pool. It was 110 degrees outside. I don't care if God was coming to me or not. I wanted to jump in the pool. But they thought that was God doing that for them. They thought, oh man, we have won some souls here today. They've measured their success by the ways of the world, the works. Another way they measure their success is on how well they take care of the poor. I have a very close relative who, rather than telling me what Christ does for that person, they're always telling me about what they do for the poor. I'm thankful. I'm so thankful that they do what they do. The poor need help. But that's not the gospel. The gospel is what Christ has done for me. The good news is that I am a sinner standing before you today, saved by the Holy Spirit, by God the Son and God the Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of what He has done for me, because of His substitutionary acts, I am born again. There is no argument that the birth is absolutely of the Lord. When the Lord says we are to be born again, there is no doubt in my mind that it is because He is in control of all things. He is telling us at that very point to be born again is of Him. Dead bones can't do anything. When Christ the Lord comes by the way of the Spirit and reveals Himself to those whose names were written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the world was created, our hearts burn within us to seek after Him. We no longer follow the world, the road of the world of works. We seek after the One who is merciful and grace to know more about our Savior, to hear about all that He has accomplished according to His will. Turn to 1 Peter 1, if you would, please. We trust Him. We trust what He says. We trust Him what He says in His Word. Why? Because He's God. If God says something and you can't trust it, then He's not your God. And because He's God, He cannot fail. That's why this is called the gospel. The good news of Jesus Christ. This is why the world around us can be falling further into disarray, disturbing to any reasonable thinking person, yet we do fret as we go, don't we? We forget the peace that we have. Our flesh wars with our soul. Are you with me in 1 Peter? Look at verse 13, if you would, please. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts of your ignorance, not fashioning yourselves to the former ways that we walk through this world. We're no longer of that world of works. Yes, we're passing through. Yes, we forget where we're on our way to at times. It's a little bit of a long trip for us. Or at least we think it is as we're walking. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, or manner of life, or manner of living. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy, He says. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Does that describe the world around us or doesn't it? There's a lot of tradition. Yeah, I've seen some Catholic movies lately. Those guys really go out on a limb with their traditions. Have you seen the Pope going around? Oh my goodness. You can't tell me people aren't worshiping that man. He's a man. And to see that thousands. Isn't it just kind of scary in a way to think of how the and they claim to be Christians, by the way, how the Catholic Church has that much power around the world. Maybe not so much in the United States anymore, but in other countries, whoo, they worship that man. For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but catch this, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb, without blemish and without spot. Our perfect Lord walked a perfect life as he was on this earth, so that we would have righteousness in him. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart, fervently being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is a flower of grass, and the grass withereth, and the flower therefore falleth away. But, the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Friends, hear me now. The road of works is wide, and it leads to destruction. If you don't believe what I just said, count on your both hands how many religions there are in the world. Thousands. Some that we probably even haven't heard of yet. And every one of them are works. There's only one road of grace, and it's a very narrow one, and it leads to the only thing, the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you trusting in anything that comes from you? God's people have no confidence in the flesh. Why? Because God has given us faith to trust in his word, to trust in him, to turn away from our sinful flesh. Even when our feelings may be deceiving to us, we know that we can look to God's word and trust in his promises for us. We're passing through the world of works because we're heading for the world of grace. We're actually in that world of grace right now, if you think about it. Where should our mindset be? On Christ. And if our mindset is on him, then we are in the world of grace. As it says, salvation is of the Lord from beginning to the end. Turn a couple pages over to Colossians 2 for me, if you would, please, and we'll bring this to a close. Colossians chapter 2. Starting in verse 4. You see, our Lord reminds us and warns us about the road of works, the world of works around us. In Jude, he tells us about men who were ordained, chosen to come in, sneaking into the church and preach false gospels. He warns us over and over many times about these false preachers, the false doctrine. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and builted up in him, and having established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And here's what I want you to see most of all. God's people were passing through because ye are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power. Simply trusting every day, trusting through a stormy wave. Even when my faith is small, right? Trusting Jesus, that is all. Trusting him while life shall last, trusting him till earth be past. Till within the jasper wall, trusting Jesus. That is all.
Thank you, John. Thank God for reminding us.